Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
And we're coming to you live for the Built Ford Tough Studio. Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Geo on the Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. And wherever you are in the free Odyssey app, good Friday morning, feel good football Friday, divisional playoff weekend. Hopefully a good one. There are some big spreads. You don't normally get multiple spreads that are over a touchdown in divisional playoff weekend, but we do have that. And of course, the big one, the Ravens going to Buffalo. That's going to be the most talked about. I can't imagine how that game is going to be a dud, so I hope it is a classic that we talk about for a long time, like the Kansas City Chiefs and the Buffalo Bills in the divisionals a couple years ago in 2022. Seems like the Pete Alonso Mets thing is officially over. He is not going to be a New York Met. We'll get into that at some point as well, and I feel like I saw Boomer 3 hours ago, because I kind of did. Good morning, Boomer. How are you? Successful event last night.
Yeah, it was a great event, and again, thanks to the Balsam Brothers and Teller's Chop House. We had a great night last night. Thanks to Phil Simms for trekking all the way out to Islip, New York from Franklin Lakes. He was a huge hit last night. As you can tell, my voice came back,
good, thankfully,
because I did get a little sleep, but you know, for me, what happened last night, it was a great event. I got in my car, drove home, and got back to see the second and third period of the Ranger game.
Oh, I was worried that you would not.
No. So it was good. It was great, especially the third period, because they came back and they won the game. They scored two goals, and then Panarin had an empty netter. So that was good. I was able to do that. And, last night was a lot of fun. I had over 100 people there at Teller's next door. Couldn't have gone any better for our foundation. Thank you to you as well for emceeing and doing a great job on the auction. So, yeah, it was a very successful night for all of us. And now here we are on a football Friday. And, you're right, with these spreads and everything and looking at these games and just talking about them again last night. And we'll talk about them again today. I mean, there's the Ravens, the Eagles, the Lions, and the Chiefs are just four really good teams. And, you know, when you're talking about these teams, and the Ravens are the only one of these four teams that I'm talking about that are going on the road. Like, the Bills would be the fifth of these teams in my eyes, just simply because, you know, they have Josh Allen. He is Superman. Nobody is saying that he's not. But these other teams, I feel like, are just a little bit better in terms of overall balance when it comes to running the ball, playing defense, the size of their offensive line, their head coach, their quarterback. I mean, they all have everything that you want. And then I just think the Bills are a little bit notch below, but that doesn't mean they can't win on Sunday night on CBS. They certainly can win, and they may win, just simply because playing in that building is not the easiest place to play.
Yeah, I mean, and it just feels like every year these games and Buffalo believes it themselves, and this is why I would have, if I were a Buffalo Bills fan, this is going to sound nuts, and you tell me if you think I'm way off base on this. If I were a Buffalo Bills fan, I think I'd rather have this game in Baltimore, because I really do think that when things don't go great in places that haven't won, and the fan base is like, what's going to go wrong now? If the Ravens go up 7-0 in that game, the sphincter shrinkage happens, you start feeling it in the building. I actually think that the Bills have played faster and looser. Obviously, last week they rolled, but I mean, now we're talking about playing some big boys. I mean, Josh Allen, that was at Arrowhead. You know, and just these fan bases, and I'm a fan of teams that are just like that. That when you're there
And you're positive when you walk in, but when that first negative thing happens, everybody's like, oh no, here we go. Oh God, again. I was there for the four Super Bowl losses. I was there for this. I was there for, I can't go through another one of these things. So I think it is absolutely imperative for the Buffalo Bills to get off to a good start, because I think that if the Ravens, let's say they get the ball or they go three and out, the Bills, if they get the ball first and it's 7-0 and Lamar's running around like crazy and then this little, you know, flick of the wrist to Mark Andrews and then the place is quiet, then good night. Then the Ravens are moving on.
You know, that's a real thing, because as a player, you feel it. You feel it from your home fans. Like, I know for a fact that Jet players, because I felt it myself, Jet players, Giant players, when you're playing in MetLife Stadium, things haven't gone well for the last 5 or 6 years. The fans are expecting the worst. You can feel it. You can feel the agita. You can feel the disgust. You can feel the intensity of negativity that comes down from the fans. It does permeate into the team. Then all of a sudden, the team becomes tight. And then next thing you know, there's a fumble or there's a broken down play. Guy goes up for a ball, tips off his hands. It's an intercept in return for a touchdown. And then the avalanche of emotion and momentum, you know, kind of just take over the game. And that's why, you know, Josh Allen, again, if he continues to play the way he's playing, the game should be close. Really, I mean, the same thing could be said for Lamar Jackson. I don't necessarily know that either one of these guys are going to turn the ball over. That's one thing that they did really well this year. They did not turn the ball over, you know, consistently. They stayed away from all of that, and it's one of the reasons why they won as many games as they won. So which defense in this particular game is going to be able to stop the other team's quarterback and force turnovers? Because that ultimately will be, I think that will be the decision or the deciding factor. But I just think Baltimore is big. They are fast. I don't know if Zay Flowers is going to play for Baltimore. That is a huge loss for them.
Well, of course. I mean,
they haven't said anything about whether or not he's playing. I don't know how bad his knee injury is. He got hurt a couple weeks ago. He did not play last week against Pittsburgh. So if he's able to play, he's able to play a significant amount of snaps.
He didn't practice again yesterday. I wasn't sure about that.
Right. So he may not play. I don't know. But that's a big loss for them. But as we have seen throughout the year, Baltimore does have numerous weapons, including a running back that has made a significant difference on this football team. And that, of course, is Derrick Henry.
Yeah, and there's a big talking point this week that surprises me. And I know that the national feel around Lamar Jackson is when he goes up against these, you know, these tougher teams, these better quarterbacks, he can't get it done. But the talking about the cold with him, and this being the coldest game that he's played in, I mean, we're not talking about a guy who spent his entire career in Southern California or the Miami. I mean, he plays in Baltimore. I mean, and he's also been, you know, to these other AFC cities that it's been freezing. So I don't think that's going to be a factor. I can't imagine that Lamar Jackson, with the season that he has had, is going to be affected by, you know, negative wind chills in this game. And it's funny, they put out a clip of the AFC Hard Knocks. And Chris Berman of ESPN went to the practice. He was talking to John Harbaugh, and John Harbaugh was talking about how this year Lamar and the way he's throwing the ball, like the elements don't matter. Like he's throwing it in the cold, he's throwing it in the wind. He's just better than he's ever been. So that I took that. I could be swayed by anything these days.
Yes, but
like,
I'm sure.
Like
yes.
I took that, and I'm like, you know what? I think he's going to play really well in this game, and the weather's not going to matter.
Well, there's one thing we all know, that Josh Allen is weatherproof. You know, he'll run through anything. He'll run anytime. He'll take off anytime. But so will Lamar, and that's why Lamar is going to be the MVP of the NFL. You know, people last night were asking whether or not this game is going to have any impact. No, it doesn't. Yeah. The votes are already in, and it's based on the regular season. And Lamar Jackson was your all-pro quarterback. So if he's your all-pro quarterback, he's going to be your MVP.
Yeah, I mean, and he beats him out in every single statistical
category.
Yeah,
I mean, and it's not taking anything away from Josh Allen. He had a great season. And, you know, it's just unfortunately for Josh that Lamar had a season for the ages. Maybe the greatest single season any quarterback has ever had, when you combine the passing yards over 4,000 and the running yards over 900 yards. I mean, that's 5,000 yards of offense, plus all the touchdowns and the lack of turnovers. He had a remarkable season, and he's going to win his third MVP, and he deserves it.
Yeah, and I don't think we're going to get what we got in the NBA where Jokic was clearly the best player and they didn't want to give him three in a row, so they went to Joel Embiid. Like, you can't, that's just the dumbest thing in the world. You give it to the player who's got the, you know, who's supposed to be the MVP, and it should be Lamar Jackson. But that doesn't mean that Josh Allen can't play better than him in this football game.
No, I mean, if you were Josh Allen, that could be a little fuel for the fire for sure, but I don't think Josh is thinking that. I don't think Josh is thinking about the MVP. I just think they're just trying to figure out a way to beat each other. That's really what it comes down to here. And I think Lamar talked about that this week. You know, maybe when we're older, we'll laugh about it, kind of like me and my generation laugh about it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I just, you know, when you have these types of quarterbacks that are dual threat quarterbacks and can take off at any time, it's so difficult to play defense against them. You know, Matt Milano is going to be standing out there and he's going to try to be figuring out where the hell is Lamar going.
And he's a really good player and he may have a bad game because he's going against the league's best right now.
Right, and that the league's best right now looks about as fast as he's ever had. You know, that first half against Pittsburgh, man, he looked like he was shot out of a cannon. So that was their home game. He knew he had to have a big game against Pittsburgh, and now comes another real test for him because he'll have to go on here, and most likely he'll, you know, the winner of this game is going to obviously go to Kansas City because I don't think any of us think that the Texans are going to be Kansas City.
I don't, but I mean, so they had the last time that you saw the Kansas City Chiefs offense on the field intact was the last time that they played the Texans. And I believe there was a 23-16 game.
And that's the game that Tank Dell got hurt after scoring the touchdown,
right,
and C.J. Stroud went into a shell.
Absolutely.
An emotional shell.
And then didn't play well for 2 weeks after that as well. So that had sort of an impact on the game. You know, the Kansas City Chiefs always find a way to win, but they don't cover spreads that are more than 6 points. So, I mean, it could be close, but I got to see somebody go in there and beat them again. Obviously, the Cincinnati Bengals, they have done it, but I got to see someone else do it.
I think the Bills or the Ravens can go in there and beat them.
Right, they could. I'm just saying I got to see somebody do it before I pick it to happen. You know, and the Bengals, I last time the Bengals went in there, I was all in on them and thought they were going to do it again, and then they ended up losing the game, obviously.
Stupid penalty towards the end of the game.
Oh, it's just awful. But yes. But I was all, because once I see that happen, I'm like, that team is not intimidated. Joe Burrow is not intimidated going in there. They beat them once. They could do it again. So I got to see another one of those AFC teams go in there and do it before I pick it. And it's certainly, I'm certainly not going to pick the Houston Texans to go and beat them. But every single game, it feels like, that the Kansas City Chiefs have played has been a very close game and one that comes down to the fourth quarter and Patrick Mahomes being the best player.
You know, so we got these four games. Which one is the most lopsided in your eyes, the Lions Commanders?
It has to be, right? Just because the Eagles can get in a rut offensively at times, the Rams could probably, you know, they could keep up. Score. I mean, on the road, it's going to be tougher, but it would have the biggest potential for blowout has to be Commanders Lions. And I don't know if my take on this guy, I'm trying to create a world in which the Commanders can go in there and win in my brain.
Is that what you were doing back in your office?
No.
I went back there and I looked at you and you had your eyes closed and you were sitting with your hands, your palms up. I'm like, what in the world are you doing? What were you doing? Were you trying to figure out, was that what you were doing at that point?
No, I think I was just doing a little stretching. I think that was really it.
That was stretching?
I was doing a little stretching. I was like, you know, eyes closed.
That was stretching. That did not look like stretching to me. It looked like you were doing some sort of like
spiritual thing?
Spiritual ritual, or I don't know what it was. I just didn't want to bother you. I was going to ask you a question, but I was like, I don't want to go anywhere near him. I didn't know what you were doing.
No, it just just a little bit of pre-show stretching. And not in that moment was I imagining a world in which the Commanders win.
Were you stretching like your fingers? You weren't stretching your legs. You weren't stretching your back.
You know, I got in trouble when I wasn't doing any meditating. I got in trouble in school. It was like probably third grade, and I had heard the word meditating. And I got it confused with a different word.
Okay.
And I was sitting in my chair in school, and I had my eyes closed, and I had my hands out, sort of my fingers put together, and I was just being a little goofball in third grade, and the teacher goes, what are you doing? I said, I'm masturbating. And it was the wrong word. It was supposed to be meditating is what I was supposed to say.
Well.
And I got confused.
So I caught you meditating today.
Maybe. But yeah, that's so anyway, I'm trying to imagine a world in which the Commanders beat the Lions, And it all comes down to this, well, the Lions were the fun team last year, nothing to lose. Then this year, they are the ones. They are the number one seed. Everybody's been talking about them as the best team. They are the favorites. And just all the pressure on a team that's never been to a Super Bowl. And the Commanders and Jaden Daniels just being, you know, whatever happens, happens. I'm good. I did what I need to do this year.
You know, it's kind of interesting. So we have these eight teams. Two out of these eight teams, maybe it's more. I do know that, you know, obviously the Ravens just mauled the Bills back in week four, 35-10. The Rams also beat the Bills late in the season out in L.A.
That was a crazy game.
So it's like, you know, which one of these Bills teams are we going to see on Sunday night? And it is going to be cold because it's a 6:30 start.
Yeah. I know you guys, you and Phil, made your decision on the game last night and who was going to win. I still have not decided who I'm picking when we do our picks a little bit later. It's like I'm hearing so much of the same thing in this game over and over again.
Then I got to talk yourself into going the other way.
Of course.
Yeah.
And it's impossible. It's impossible to be right about these things all the time. Even the best in the world are less than 60% trying to figure these things out. So, yeah, be honest with you, I just want at least
one
two
good
of these
game.
Games.
Give me a couple good games. Normally, these divisional round games are competitive.
Yeah, but you got two spreads that are over a touchdown and one that is half a point under a full touchdown and 7 points. So, I mean, a touchdown and extra points.
I just wonder, like, is Kansas City going to finally come out and just blow somebody out?
No, I don't think so. I mean, if they're going to do it, maybe it's this week because it's the Texans, but that Texans defense is feisty, man.
Two edge rushers that are pretty damn good that, you know, upset the game. Or as you say, because I heard you talking about this the other day, they're game wreckers.
Game wreckers.
Yes.
Game wrecker type guys.
Yeah. That's what I heard you say.
I mean, is this the game, the big upset that we're just not talking about? I don't think so. I mean, they haven't played in so long. And that's going to be, if they end up losing the game, that's what everybody's going to be talking about. This is why you can't rest your starters. This is why you can't do this. This is why you ended up having to buy. You haven't played this team, and this team ends up playing well, and they had their starters in for a drive in week 18, and they played a really good game in wild card weekend. They got all the momentum. But I cannot pick the Texans to go in there and win.
But let me give you the scores for the Kansas City Chiefs. In last six out of seven games, because I don't want to count the last game because that was at Denver. They got shut out 38-0. Patrick Mahomes and those guys didn't play. So that doesn't matter. But if you go back to November 24th, Sunday, that was the Carolina Panther game. They won the game 30-27. Then they beat Vegas 19-17. Then they beat the Chargers 19-17. Then they beat the Browns 21-7. Then they beat Houston 27-19. And then they beat Pittsburgh 29-10. That was at Pittsburgh. So point being is they don't normally go over 30 points. They don't normally do that. I mean, which is crazy to me.
They do it once all year, I think.
But twice. And both of those games were in overtime. Wow. So there was a game here. Let's see. Right here. They beat Tampa Bay 30-24 in overtime. And then they beat that Carolina 30-27. Carolina was the other one.
Okay. Yeah, I mean they're a different team. It's basically defense keeps it close. Patrick Mahomes finds a way to win.
When's the fourth quarter all the time?
That's been their story the entire year, and probably going to be their story tomorrow as well.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. A feel good football Friday divisional playoff weekend.
It's a feel good Ranger Friday too, right, CeeLo?
Oh yeah,
yes, right? Boomer.
Feel good about that.
I don't think that's what Geo was hoping for break
well,
here.
Geo's been talking about feel good Fridays, you know, for as long as I've been working for him.
Working with
him, I should say, not for him. Working with him.
I am glad that this morning, after a long night last night, that you were able to go home and watch them win. Because the alternative version of you, if you went home and watched them lose and lost that sleep, would have been ornery.
Yes, it would have been.
I just didn't need that today.
I'm impressed. I couldn't hang in last night. Yeah. I did not make it to the end.
Well, so. you had to get in earlier than we did this morning.
Yeah, but I mean, It's not, I mean, less than an hour and a half. It's about a, maybe yeah, an hour and a half.
You know what? I thought Steve Alkette was a little disheveled last night.
Why is that?
I don't know. Just like his hair. He's got to get a haircut or something. Just a little disheveled.
That's he has longer hair.
Yes, he does.
He likes to put some product in there.
Well, we all do. I mean, you know, I do. But
he's due for one. Due for a cut.
But he had like fluffy hair last night.
Okay.
You know, speaking of that, I referenced this Hard Knocks, the AFC North, where Chris Berman showed up at Ravens practice talking to John Harbaugh. He's a comb-over guy.
Oh, yeah.
So he shows up at this practice on a windy, cold day with no hat. And his comb-over is everywhere. And then it's on HBO Max. And I'm thinking, man, you've been doing that comb-over for a long time. You got to know when to go hat and no hat. And that was a terrible decision. It's all I could see was that thing flopping up there like a rooster. It was just flying up in the air.
I get it. I mean, you know, you got to wear a hat when it's cold out and when it's windy.
Yeah, you can't.
And, you know, he's got
especially if you're a comb over guy.
And a good thing about him, he's got a nice round head. So, you know, he puts a nice beanie on top, he's going to look fine.
Or put some serious gel in there to keep that thing stabilized, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of skin there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You would have to tie like a fishing weight to the end of it.
But, like, you see, I know Berman's a little longer, but Tom Thibodeau's still.
Oh, yeah, hanging on.
But that thing, you can see, it has like a wet look to it. He's got some product in there for sure.
Yeah, but even
well, he's
that,
always sweating.
Right.
Yeah,
that guy
but
sweats,
he's
sweat, that guy sweat, sweats
he
more
is
than
indoors.
That guy.
That is true, but I'm saying it glistens.
I mean, you take that thing outside, you're taking your chances.
Is it long enough, though, to flop and sway in the wind like
I think
that?
So.
Yeah. Well, he'd be a good candidate to go to Turkey.
To get a hair transplant?
Yeah.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, and for him, it'd just be, I mean, they would love that. NBA coach coming over to get a hair transplant in Turkey, they would treat him like a god.
Could you imagine him with a hair transplant? I couldn't imagine him.
Well, no. At one point, when he was probably early in his coaching career, he had to have some full
head of hair. But he looked younger
then.
Yeah,
but I don't remember that. So, I mean, like, I'm dealing with the guy that we've looked at for the last 5 years.
Yeah, that's fair. Let's see. Oh, look at that. Look at that, Boomer. Look at your boy.
Let's see.
Look at that.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that he does.
Flowing locks.
See, that he should take that picture and go to Turkey after the season.
Yeah, give me this.
I've
seen this one.
He actually has hair like Tom Brady. He used to have hair like Tom Brady has now.
Well, Tom Brady, if he went to Turkey, he did something. Or like the Illuminati hairdresser that they have somewhere in the sky that they go to.
I mean, you know, he was married to like the most beautiful woman in the world.
Yeah,
so
she probably
had all the little tricks and let's go do this, let's go do that, let's take care of that chin of yours, let's do this.
A little nip tuck here and there.
Let's minimize your butt chin. Let's do everything we need to do. All right, CeeLo, let's get to the sports.
Yeah, let's do that. It's brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. It is a football Friday as we've reached the eve of the divisional playoffs, Chiefs and Texans, to get it started tomorrow afternoon in Kansas City. So Patrick Mahomes and some other key Chiefs regulars haven't played any game action since that Christmas Day win over the Steelers. Plenty of time for Mahomes to rest up, get the ankle right, but got to find ways to stay sharp as well.
I just kind of continue to work as far as working in the building, working at practice like I usually do. Obviously, the reps are a little bit different, but at the same time, you can get mental reps and you can get physical reps on the side.
And just welcomed his third kid recently.
That's right.
What'd they name this one? The first one was Sterling, right? One of them, is it Golden now?
Golden Ray.
Golden Ray.
Golden Ray.
Very nice.
So yeah, I have a Summer Ray. They have a Golden Ray.
Golden Ray.
I think they got some inspiration from the Giannotti's. That's what
clearly,
I heard.
100%.
That's what I heard.
Yes, so they are an 8-point favorite over Houston as they begin their quest for a third straight Super Bowl title. Meantime, the upstart Commanders, 9.5-point underdog tomorrow night against the 1-seed Lions at Ford Field. And Detroit, like Kansas City, enjoyed the bye week and certainly needed it with all the injuries they've had to deal with. No such trouble for Jared Goff, but still appreciative of the reset.
Yeah, it feels good. Certainly, you're at home, you're resting, you're getting a little extra sleep, you're getting a couple naps in. You feel good. Your body feels good. You get your body back. And now, if I'm saying that, I can't imagine how the guys up front are feeling after a week off. So, yeah, it's a good thing to have.
And more time for a guy like David Montgomery to get himself right off the injury report so he is ready to return from his knee injury for Detroit against Washington. Game number one Sunday, the Eagles hosting the Rams. Weather forecast looking like a bit of a challenge, especially for a California team quarterbacked by one Matthew Stafford.
We'll see when we get there. You know, every situation, every weather situation I've been a part of is kind of different. You go out there and see what you can do, what you can't do. And I'm sure that, you know, Sunday will be no different.
And it sounds like they could have some snow on the ground in Philadelphia, plus some very cold temperatures, which would seemingly favor the home team in this case. Though I did have Al on the warm-up show this morning predicting a 16-carry, 6-yard performance for Saquon Barkley.
Really?
Yes.
It's a hope. I'm hoping for.
Oh, why?
Oh,
you don't
it's a hope now?
What's the matter? Okay. Is it just a Philadelphia thing?
It's a Philadelphia thing. It's a not going for the record thing. Yeah.
He's down on Saquon and Josh Allen because of week 18.
Oh, so you're down that they didn't play. And the way that Josh Allen went in there for one play just to keep his streak alive.
Which is worse than Saquon Barkley for sure.
Right, because Eli Manning never did that, right?
Nope.
I don't think so.
No real players who, they don't do that. That's a making a mockery of
real
sport.
Players.
Correct.
Okay.
Al did say that Josh Allen could redeem himself on Sunday, though.
Okay.
If he played naked.
That's what I said. Not quite to that extent, but yeah. No sleeves and no muff. No muff up there in Buffalo.
Oh, he'll have a muff.
Oh, 100%.
100%
his will be
muff.
Sewed into the jersey.
Muff warmer?
Yeah. He's got a muff
and,
warmer.
You know, and I hate to break it to you. He probably doesn't give a two.
We don't know,
you know what's about your thought process.
Some of these guys have very fragile egos.
That's right. Because this thing could pop up on social media. They tag them. Next thing you know, I got guys out there thinking I'm soft.
Yeah.
Don't sew the muff into my jersey. I don't need the muff this week. There's narratives out there I need to crack.
Or when he, you know, sticks it up Baltimore's you know what in the post-game locker room, they'll be referencing Al Dukes' tweet.
Yeah.
Or
sort
of some on-air check, you know,
sticking
piece
your
of audio.
Out,
yeah.
Muff warmer?
Muff warmer.
Yeah, muff warmer.
Back
muff
to Saquon.
Busters.
Muff Busters. I reminded...
short run on TLC, Muff Busters. It was only for a couple of weeks and they canceled it.
Muff Busters. I reminded Al that Saquon went for, you know, 255 against LA back in late November. He didn't care about that either. So, different game.
Different game, and I think LA's healthier now, so...
Fair. That is fair. As for the finale of the weekend, as we were just discussing, Ravens at Bills, Aaron Rodgers with McAfee yesterday preemptively getting on the media members that he feels will conclude either Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen can't win the big one, depending on which QB loses in Buffalo.
Again, they both haven't, you know, won, you know, been to a Super Bowl, which is, you know, everybody's measuring stick for giving somebody some sort of elite status that we have to grovel to receive from the media.
So, you know, basically you got to win the game or you got to kiss
I mean, they're also making $55 million a year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll take the money. I mean, but listen, both of these players are great players. They happen to be playing in the same era as Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow. And, you know, it's just, it feels like Peyton and Brady and Roethlisberger and Rivers. That's what it feels like now. This is that generation of those players.
Very true. Now to baseball, and we did get some significant developments with the Pete Alonso saga on Thursday as his camp reportedly rejected the Mets' reported offer of 3 years for somewhere between $68 and $70 million, including opt-outs. Now, the Mets were said to have had a willingness to go slightly higher on the total amount without deferrals, but I guess Alonso's camp has decided they weren't interested in that.
I'll tell you what, they really don't want him.
Seems that way.
I mean, they have their heart set on a certain number, and they will not pay him, and they will not go over that. And it's really, it's kind of a little bit disheartening for us Met fans. I mean, I'd love to have seen him in this lineup to see what it would look like. And maybe he would have had a bounce back year. But at the moment, it doesn't look like he's going to be here. And if he's not here, that's, you know, somewhat disappointing.
Yeah, it is. But it's all because of what happened last year in that season. He would have gotten more money, maybe an extra year, if he had put together one of his regular Pete Alonso seasons. And he didn't. And David Stearns, you always talk about ruthless. David Stearns, doesn't matter who you are, if you fit the profile of a guy that he doesn't want on the team, which is a declining past 30-year-old player who had his worst season, I don't care if there's polar bear t-shirts out there. I don't care if there's bobbleheads that are scheduled. I don't care if all the Alonso jerseys are going away. I'm here to win, and I don't think that that guy is worth this, so see ya. So, I mean, those are the really, really tough decisions that you have to make as a general manager, and I appreciate it. I mean, I'm gonna miss him, and I think that home run, I thought that home run, I was caught up in the emotions of it. I thought the home run in Milwaukee, I was like, he's definitely got to come back now. But
that was also before signing Juan Soto. I was telling my nephew Randy yesterday, we were talking about this. I said, I still find it so hard to believe that they gave Juan Soto $750 million.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's not a five-tool player. He's a great hitter, of course. You know what I mean? What?
Yeah. No, it's just, I'm just interested.
I mean, Aaron Judge.
Poking holes in one.
Aaron Judge, to me, is worth every penny because he plays great defense. He's got a great arm. You know, he could steal bases. I think they tell him not to steal bases. They don't want him getting hurt or anything like that. Like, Aaron Judge is the player. That is the baseball player.
Different stage of his career, different age.
Right. I know, but I'm saying, Juan Soto's not, his hitting's going to be fine. But his fielding, his arm strength, all of that other stuff, that's not going to get any better. That's what it is.
What happened to you?
No. He had this take for forever, but... You know, it's the money. He always liked Juan Soto as a player.
Too
it's just the money.
Got it.
But, you know, but we did this for weeks, and it's not just about giving him the money for everything he does on the field. It's about taking him from the Yankees. It's about Steve Cohen planting his flag in the ground. It's about Steve Cohen getting a downstate casino license. It's having that guy there. It's about all of those things.
So, I know. It's a business decision, and it's not my money. I don't care, but it's still hard for me to fathom.
Three quarters
of $1 billion for what I think is a great hitter and just a, so-so player.
Well, hopefully he'll win you over once we get to the regular season.
You want to see a real baseball player, so Judge is the everyday baseball player. To me, that is the best player in baseball. Shohei Ohtani, last year, injured elbow coming off of the Tommy John surgery. He's a 50-50 guy. That is ridiculous. That's a guy who cares. That's a guy who actually impacts the game in so many different ways. That's not who Juan Soto is.
Hey, while we're on this, you think Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame? Let's get it all out.
By the way, he'll impact the game on the mound coming up this year, Ohtani. Probably you're not getting another 50-50 season out of him while he's pitching as well. They're going to cut down on the base stealing if he's back to being a regular in the rotation.
Yeah, but you get 200 strikeouts.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Impacting it in a different way, obviously. The Mets, though, are going to bring back Jesse Winker. Sounds like 1 year, $8 million, so you'll have him back in the fold. All this, as it's happening yesterday, you know, Sal ends up going on his Baseball Night in New York show in SNY, and I guess prepared to quickly move on from Alonzo the Met, as it turns out.
On second thought, forget about what I said about Alonzo. I was playing checkers. David Stearns, you were playing chess. I didn't think there was a better option than Pete. I was wrong. Go get Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Imagine Soto and Vlad hitting back-to-back in the Mets lineup. Yes!
So now he's got them maybe trading for Vlad Jr. instead of waiting for him to become a free agent.
I think that they'll sign him. I don't think that they're going to get him in a trade. I would be shocked if they got him in a trade. I'd be happy, but I would be very surprised.
So you think Toronto's going to extend him?
No, I think they're going to
sign him as a free agent.
No. I think what's going to happen is that they're going to start this season. They're going to see how it goes.
Yeah.
And if they're playing well, they're going to hope that him growing up there in the organization and giving him a big offer is going to keep him there. And they're going to try to win next year. If they're bad by the trade deadline, they're going to trade them. And I think they're going to try their ass off to keep him in the offseason. If they keep him through the end of the season, but then Steve Cohen's going to do what he did with Juan Soto, and he's going to blow everybody away. And David Stern's going to say, yes, this is the guy that I want because that guy fits who we give the money to. We give the money to guys like that. We don't give the money to guys like Pete Alonso.
We did have the passing of Bob Uecker yesterday at the age of 90. We'll do some on that throughout the course of the morning quickly just because we're out of time already. The Rangers did win in Utah last night 5-3. Couple of goals for Artemi Panarin. Chris Kreider had the go-ahead as the Ranger road trip comes to an end on a high note. Devils lost to the Maple Leafs in overtime in Toronto 4-3. William Nylander had the game winner there, his second of the night. Islanders lost to the Flyers at UBS Arena 5-3. And college hoops, a late night for Jerry out in Lincoln, Nebraska, but Rutgers did beat Nebraska 85-82, which snapped a 20-game home winning streak for the Cornhuskers.
Rutgers has a pulse now.
Nice little win for the Scarlet Knights. And then you've got the Knicks tonight and the Timberwolves at the Garden. No Dante DiVincenzo, though. He's out with a big toe issue. But you have Julius Randle's return to MSG.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Commanders kicker Zane Gonzalez was caught on camera this past weekend doing some of the things he does because he suffers from OCD, which of course is obsessive compulsive disorder. And then people were noticing it really for the first time on a very grand level. And then some other videos had popped up and he ended up talking about it and really sort of pouring his heart out about it. And I've seen people that have been crippled by that, quite frankly. And the fact that he can have to do sort of his rituals and his tics and the things and be able to go out there and kick in an NFL game is really, really impressive. I did work with a guy who had some severe OCD when I met him and was able to, by the time I ended up not working with him three years later, had really gotten under control, but he couldn't leave a bathroom without tapping his wallet on the wall three times before leaving. And I remember Mark Chernoff was in there once and was watching him do this, and he goes, "Oh no, that's not good." But it's not a laughing matter, but yeah. So I just want to say I was impressed with him talking about it, being honest with it, and dealing with it in these high pressure situations, man. It's like that can't be easy.
Thing, man, because for 10 years I worked with a guy who had the same thing, and that was Craig Carton. So Craig had a little bit of everything. He had restless leg syndrome. He had, Tourette's. He had OCD. I mean, you name it, he had it. And, you know, just watching him go through it and fight it was hard, but he also knew that he had it. You know what I mean? Like, he knows. And, we'd have some fun with it at his expense sometimes. But at the end of the day, it can be debilitating for sure. And for Zane Gonzalez, the high stress levels that I'm sure he is feeling, I would think would fuel some of that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, I have to go through this. I have to put my sock on this way or I'm going to be missing kicks. I mean, that's a mental minefield to be having to deal with that. So, and the fact that he's doing it and doing it at a high level is really, really impressive. So hopefully, I don't know his whole story, you know, if it's gotten better, if it's gotten worse, but the clip that CBS Sports Network is playing now where he's, you know, he has to touch his hair and then he's trying to put the helmet on and doing it over and over again. I mean, this is what he has to do to get his mind right with OCD to get out there and make the kick, you know?
Yeah, unfortunately for him, you know, it's, you know, he's going to find himself in really, really huge situations, which he has, and he's come through.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's only going to get bigger.
I wonder when he finally gets out on the field and he gets set to kick if everything seems to calm down for him.
Well, yes, right before he's about to kick the football, for sure. It's all the stuff leading up to it. And, you know, I know it's a story, and I know that video went everywhere. I mean, I don't think that it's necessary for a TV broadcast to be
highlighted,
putting him on the screen there, like... You know,
they may not have known. I don't know. They may not have known going into
it. No, that's fine. The first time I'm talking about, yes. Now we know. Like, yes. He's talking about it. Now we know. You know, this isn't like the Tourette's girl Bailey we talked about, who, you know, signed a deal to do a TV show. Like, Zane Gonzalez is just out there. I know he's an NFL football player, but, you know, to just kind of highlight that and put that on there for people to watch.
It would be really hard to watch him suffer like that, because that is, for us, I mean, for him, it's somewhat normal, I guess. But for us watching it, I think we all feel bad for him having to go through it. And it's tough enough to be a kicker already.
Sure.
So I would think that, I would think that they wouldn't show it, but, you know, maybe they do discuss it. I was just trying to think what I would end up doing if
you were a producer of the game.
Yeah, or we were doing the game and we were, I'd say, on site and we were doing a, you know, an NFL Today on site or something like that. I think we would end up talking about it, and we would probably do what we just did here and talk about the people in our lives that we've worked with that have had some sort of situation like this.
Yeah, I will also probably go up to him before the game or during the week and say, "Are you okay if we show this? I mean, or not?" You know, and kind of get his opinion on it as opposed to just putting it out there. Now, like I said, I don't know if NBC had any idea about the story prior to this or not. But now that everybody knows and he's talked about it, be interesting to see.
I do know one thing, it being out there and being shown and then him being open about talking about it is a very helpful thing for other people who are dealing with the same issue.
Sure. Absolutely.
You can gain inspiration that, yes, an NFL kicker can go through what he has to go through and still kick the ball and still be the hero of the game.
And speaking of things that were caught on the sideline by cameras, the A.J. Brown book that he was reading, that motivational book, is up 53 million% on Amazon. I didn't even know that was possible. So here's my question to you. How soon do we see the NFL ban books on the sideline? Because if you are a smart businessman, you get to an NFL player, a high-level NFL player, slip them your motivational book, and then maybe your book will shoot up the charts by 53 million%.
I mean, it's just, it's insane. I the whole thing is just nuts.
They're gonna, I'm telling you right now, there are people out there that saw this, the success that happened, and say, oh my goodness. And it's not one of the things that the NFL bans on the sidelines. Like, we got to get our books to the best players in the NFL. We'll give them a cut, and then we'll come out on top. The NFL is going to have to ban books on the sidelines. And when you ban books, that's a bad thing, Boomer.
Don't be burning books.
You can't be banning or burning books.
Right, exactly.
I'll be...
Well, depending on what kind of book it is who's reading the book.
Well... No, because then that's, you know, that's squashing free speech and things like that. We don't want to see any of that. But I'm really...
What I want is age-appropriate books.
Well, that's
what
fair.
I want.
Yes, age-appropriate. But it is, it's going to be fascinating to see if he pulls that thing out, the book, that is, on the sideline of this game against the Rams.
He's not going to have time this game because they're going to try to feed him the ball as much as they possibly can. So he's not reading the book on the sideline.
Squeaky wheel spot.